am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you who are listening today and archived. You are listening to Cindy Freeman on Purpose Talk Radio, today being Monday, January 20th, 2014. Wow, it is today a holiday for most people, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, at least for those in the United States. I don't know if it's celebrated elsewhere or not, but it is in the United States, and a lot of government organizations and schools and that are off today. My classes don't start second semester until tomorrow because of the holiday, and I know there are others out here who are off listening because they have the holiday as well. So I welcome you today. This is going to be much of a call-in show, I hope. You are welcome to call in today and share. And the topic being love and acceptance as Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed. I don't know how this show is going to go today because it is definitely a spirit day. I had a guest who was scheduled to be on the air and originally, and as we talked about it more, this topic did not fit for her, and she was going a different direction. So she'll be scheduled into March. I originally had mentioned to you that Andrea Scott would be on today. She'll be on in March instead, talking about a totally different topic. Then I had someone else who was going to be presenting at a Martin Luther King event tonight in Appleton, Wisconsin, near where I am. And she has laryngitis. She wasn't going to be able to be to the show till the second half anyway. And now she has laryngitis and is saving her voice for her speech tonight. And I can totally understand that. And, of course, she gave me a few other references, and they're not available. So this is a call-in day. There are several things I would like to talk to you about, though, and share. And mostly for me, I guess I look at love and acceptance. I listen to Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech and think that, you know, love and acceptance, you know, at that time it was speaking of African Americans and the world that they were enduring and trying to go through. And he wanted the world for his children to be better than it was for him. And in some ways it is. In some ways, I realize that it's not. I also realize that there are a lot of people out there that endure different things than race. There's disabilities. There's religious persecutions. There's all those kinds of things that are out in the world right now. And that seems to hinder having this love and peace in the world. And hopefully someday, in some way, as more and more people look at trying to find the things that are more positive in the world, as they share their own dreams and their goals for living in peace and harmony and accepting all those around them, hopefully they will find a way that's different from what they're experiencing now. You know, there are a lot of websites out there now that talk about the persecution over in Afghanistan and all those areas. You know, we have and we are helping to find the acceptance and find the peace for the people who live there. There's a lot of other things going on in the world. And you are invited to come join us on the air if you'd like. The number is 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074 if you'd like to join us on the air and talk. And otherwise, you can, if you are calling in and listening to the show on Skype, you can press 1 and you'll come into the guest queue, and I'll pick you up from that. Also, there's two other ways where you can share your thoughts about this. One would be in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio, and the second would be at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. So, well, folks are getting connected there, hopefully. I'd like to tell you, too, that the song that we had this morning, I Am Who I Am, is by True Trinity. That would be myself, Rachel Martinez, and Jillian Clark. And the three of us, you know, have got some other songs that involve acceptance and love as well, one of them being Be the Difference. And you can find that song as well as I Am Who I Am on our website at truetrinity.com, TrueTrinity.com. Now, for those of you who would like to be a guest on some of our future shows or know of someone who is living their purpose, their life as they would like it to be or on their way toward it, someone who would like to share with others how that has come about in their life, please get a hold of me at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com. And that website, PurposeTalkRadio. Also the site where you can learn about our upcoming guests as well as listen to our past shows. All of our shows are recorded and archived so that you can hear them at a future date if you can't listen to them while we are on the air. And that's for everybody and anybody.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. One day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside. Let freedom ring in Winding Canyon. When we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I just realized I have been talking to myself for the last several minutes, and I apologize for that. I lost my Skype connection, and here I had to be on the phone. So hopefully I didn't lose any of you listeners in the meantime. Well, there is that Martin Luther King Jr. speech, "Free at last, free at last. We are free at last." And you know what? Freedom doesn't mean just a lack of slavery to me. It means finding yourself as an individual. It means finding that which you are supposed to be and what you're supposed to be with others in that. When there is, you know, the clash of religions and racial tension and all of that that goes on, it just doesn't make a lot of sense for us to be on opposing sides. What we need to do is look at... there we go. Going back to now. Going back to that point and finding out what that really means as we look to others, as we find out what they dream of and what they want to have in life also. You know, there are times in our lives when there's going to be conflict. There's going to be reasons we don't agree with one another. But if we really take the time to ask them what that means, what do their religions, what do their traditions, what do all those things mean to them, and why is it a part of their lives, we might be able to find that we have some similarities. You know, unconditional love is out there if we want it. You know, we get it from animals. We get it from God as we believe God or spirit. We get it from our families. You know, we don't always believe that or understand what that is because it's a different kind of love than just getting things or just being able to accept
whatever is going on in a family, because, you know, there's addictions, there's abuse, there's things like that that a lot of us go through. But there is still love out there. So again, I invite you to call in and discuss to you what King's speech meant, or what is love and acceptance to you, at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Or chat about it in the Blog Talk Radio chat room or on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations and Facebook. Back again. To me, you know, that acceptance is not just, what do they say? You know, accepting everybody for who they are. It's an acceptance of them being a person and them having their own opinions and their likes, dislikes, beliefs, all of that. That's, to me, what that acceptance is. So I invite everyone to think about that when they run into someone who is a little different, who is not necessarily believing as they believe. And take a look at what you can do to be a part of love and acceptance of the world, part of bringing peace. We have all of these wars across the country, Afghanistan and over in the Middle East. We continue to have the struggles about religion and gender strength and things like that. And what can we do as individuals to help break that war, to bring our soldiers home in whatever countries they live, to bring peace into society? What I would suggest to you, you know, there's a lot of Facebook websites, or Facebook pages, excuse me, that you can go to, where some of these are discussed. There's Worldwide Support for Women. There is a voice talk where they've got all kinds of news about what's going on in other countries. And just take a look at some of these things and see what you can do. Even sharing comments, sharing posts that are on those pages will help bring that peace and that understanding. What I would like to suggest to you is, you know, maybe listen to your friends, your family, to talk about that once in a while and see what you can do. Okay, what I'd like to do is share with you, since we don't have anyone calling in, is share with you a little bit of the interview, probably much the interview, that Jan Revelle did last year with Esther Nicholson. And it's a way that we can help resolve issues where there needs to be forgiveness, that we can have that unconditional or conditional love and acceptance in the world. And what she presented to us was the 12 keys of freedom, 12 keys to freedom, the path to metaphysical recovery. So I'd like to play that for you, and then I'll come back at the end. If there's some callers, we can share or share some more about her interview.
Hi, Esther. How are you today?
Hi, Dan. I'm wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
I'm just doing great, and I'm
happy Martin Luther King's Day.
Yes. Did you go to any of the events?
No, actually, I'm in Colorado, where I'm being of service here, seeing clients and spreading the message here in Colorado.
All right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to. We're going to talk about your 12 steps of freedom in a little bit, but let's talk about you for a minute. And I know we've got a long history for you, and I'm going to give a little bit of it, and then I'm going to ask you a question about going back to when you were young, okay?
Okay.
All right, so for all of our listeners, Esther is an author. She's an Agape, did I say that right? Agape International Licensed Spiritual Therapist. She's a motivational speaker and an inspirational recording artist, and she brings 25 years of personal experience of sobriety coupled with a deep understanding of spiritual teachings to audiences around the globe. We're going to hear one of Esther's songs in a little while as well. So, and this is a song related to Martin Luther King and related to Babu, so stay tuned for that. For the past 17 years, Esther studied under Michael Beckwith, the founder of Agape and a featured teacher in the book and motion picture The Secret. Esther is a gifted vocal artist with her own national releases, and she's completed two world tours with Rod Stewart and Bette Midler, in addition to appearing on television shows like Oprah, The Tonight Show, The View, Good Morning America, and The Ellen Show, which is great. And you have a radio program, the Unity Online Radio, Esther. Is that correct?
Well, I am presently on hiatus, but all of our shows,
okay.
12 Keys to Freedom, are archived. So if anyone wants to go back and listen to the past shows, they can still go to unity.fm. and go to the pre-recorded shows, and my show is the first one there, 12
oh, okay.
Keys to Freedom. And so, and they're all titled, so any show that might resonate for someone that they might want to listen to, they can go ahead and listen to that.
Okay, great. And you have, let's get it right up front, we'll do it at the end as well. You have a website yourself.
Yes.
Is the
yes.
link on that, is that link to the Unity FM on that?
No. My
okay.
My website is esternicholson.com. That's esternicholson.com.
Okay. All right. And the other one is unity.fm, right?
Yeah, that's for all of the
okay.
Unity radio shows, and that's where my
okay.
archived radio shows could be found, can be found.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to you as a young person and
mm-hmm.
where you started out and how you ended up figuring out what it is that is your passion, and then let's talk about your passion, because I think you have several of them, right?
No, I actually don't have several of them. I only have one of them, and they outpicture in many different ways.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, well,
yeah.
we'll talk about that.
So what is
then.
The, okay, so what is your specific question about my youth?
Well, I always like to ask guests about your when you were young and what it was, you know, how was your life when you were young? Did it have bearing on, and how did you discover your passion?
Right. Well, when I was in my mother's womb, she worked at a hospital, and there was a patient in the hospital who had clairvoyant ability. And all of the nurses and people would go to this guy. He was blind, by the way, and they would write on a note any questions that they had for him, and just by having the note in his hand, he could answer their questions. And so my mother was pregnant with me at the time, and she goes to him and with a note saying, am I going to have a boy or a girl? And she put the note in his hand, and he answered, I don't know if you're going to have a boy or a girl, but whatever you have, it's going to have a great singing voice. And I came out of the womb singing, you know, and I
no
came
kidding.
Into... Absolutely. And I came into a very musical family. All of my brothers and sisters, you know, have been professional musicians at one time or another. My dad was a Baptist minister, so I grew up in Baptist faith, always singing in the choir, you know, always singing in the chorus, and anything to do with music, I was there. And, you know, I talk about in one of my motivational talks about my passion being so clear, my purpose, a part of my purpose being so clear that, you know, I can remember as a little girl, you know, pretending that the hairbrush was my microphone and that the trees in the backyard, they were my adoring fans. And I would be in that backyard every day, you know, singing to my adoring fans with my hairbrush as my microphone. And it was like, little did I know then that I was setting the tone for my future.
Uh-huh.
That I was visualizing and impressing upon the universe, upon that invisible substance, exactly what I wanted to be. And so
mm-hmm.
when I ended up, you know, when the adoring fans actually were those thousands of people at Madison Square Garden or the Staples Center or many of the other places I've had the privilege to perform, it's like, wow, you know, little did I know that at 9 years old, 8 years old, 5 years old, I had created that in consciousness.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, you said also that there was a time that you did not sing. So
yeah,
you started
absolutely.
Out your life singing. Mm-hmm. So what happened?
Mm-hmm. Well, I got pregnant at 16 years old. And when I was 21 years old, my drug addiction took over my life. And what I know about drug addiction today is that was not the beginning of my drug addiction career at 21 years old. It was just, you know, it had culminated into the substance, but that the addiction actually started from the time I was a baby, you know, of a little girl, of, you know, those feelings of, you know, not enoughness and unworthiness and, you know, feeling excluded and all of those things. I mean, that is the real cause of any kind of addiction. So from the time I can remember, that was the activity of my consciousness, of just being afraid and not feeling good enough and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, when I got 21, when I turned the age of 21, all of that had just, you know, that was like the next step in that feeling of dis-ease. And I became a drug addict. And for 6 years, I was out there just really doing drugs and everything that drug addicts do and just living that really hard, demoralizing life in the desert. And when I got sober in 1986, I had forgotten that I was a singer. I had forgotten that that was my passion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't sing for 10 years, so the first 10 years of my sobriety. I wouldn't even sing in the shower. And there's a part of me that feels like, wow, I was so broken and so detached and so removed from my God self that I forgot that part of my life. But there's another part of me that feels like, wow, how perfect that was and how protected I was, that the universe was saying, Esther, we don't want you focusing on music right now. We don't want you focusing on singing right now. We need your full attention on your soul's recovery. And so for 10 years, that's all I did was recovery. And at the end of 10 years, I remember, you know, sitting in the car with my sponsor saying, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, I think I want to sing. And she said, well, then sing, baby. And then I started singing again. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So you also told us that there was a bit of you have a background of abuse as well.
Mm-hmm.
Would you talk a little bit about that? This has been our month of healing from abuse. We've got several speakers who are
mm-hmm.
talking about this. So mm-hmm. I really want to be able to give people some idea of somebody else's experience of abuse and how you healed from it.
Well, like you said in the beginning of the show, abuse comes in many, many different forms. You know, so the first form of abuse I experienced, and I think that everybody else experiences as well, is self-abuse, you know, where you are so emotionally abusive to yourself, you know, where you are constantly betraying yourself, saying yes when you mean no, or not speaking up for yourself because you're afraid of what other people might think of you, or someone being mad at you, or someone not liking you, you know, and then you abuse yourself maybe with food, or you abuse yourself with unhealthy relationships, or you abuse yourself, you know, with drugs and alcohol, or you abuse yourself with overspending money that you don't have, and you find yourself sabotaging yourself constantly. So even though the abuse might appear to come from outside of you, it is always a mirror of how you feel about yourself and what you're doing to yourself. So I experienced all levels of abuse, and one of the areas of abuse that I experienced was domestic violence. And, you know, that was just another venue. That was just another outlet for my self-abuse. It always mm-hmm. begins and ends with you. And so, yeah, for many years, you know, I didn't know any other kind of relationship other than relationships that were emotionally abusive as well as physically abusive. And as I started to unfold spiritually and come into the conscious realization of my worthiness and my enoughness, which came from my awareness of my oneness with God, you know, and self-forgiveness and self-love, you know, those types of relationships were no longer a vibrational match for me. So, you know, it's like they're not even on my radar anymore, you know.
Right.
But that taking care of myself and loving myself and all of that first had to begin with me, just like the abuse began with me.
So how did you heal from it? I mean, or maybe I shouldn't say that. I should say you gave us that step. You've got the 12 keys to freedom. Are there?
Yeah, 12.
Can you give us a couple of those?
Yeah, sure. 12 keys to freedom is a unification of the 12 steps of the anonymous programs, you know, the 12 spiritual steps,
right.
Unified with new thought principles. Because everybody, you know, is not an alcoholic or an addict, but I believe that everybody suffers from the spiritual malady that Bill Wilson talks about in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. He talks about that addiction, that the cause of addiction is based on a spiritual malady, which is your false belief that you're separate and apart from God, a mental obsession, and a physical allergy, and that when you are in that vibration, you are indeed powerless. You are powerless over drugs and alcohol. You're powerless over your emotions. You're powerless over, you know, whatever your addiction might be, and your life becomes unmanageable because you're not present for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And the unification that, you know, that I've connected to new thought principles is that being powerless, you know, because in this teaching, we don't talk about being powerless because that's not what we're supposed to talk about. We're supposed to talk about the all power. And I've just, you know, from my experience with the 12-step programs, have said, I think it's powerful to be powerless, you know, because it's recognizing that, you know, even Scripture says, I of myself can do nothing. So it's recognizing that I of myself, based on my finite experience, my finite thinking, I am powerless. And trying to deal with my problems from the level of my finite thinking is trying to deal with my problems from the level of the problem. And being powerless is a level of surrender that's necessary in order to come into conscious availability to that which is all power. You know, and so the first key in my book, 12 Keys to Freedom, is through my conscious union with the divine, I am divinely empowered, and my life is in divine and perfect order. So it's the opposite of I am powerless over alcohol and my life has become unmanageable, but also honoring the power of that step, but saying now that I've come into realization of my oneness with God, I am divinely empowered and my life is in divine and perfect order. And then the second step of the anonymous program says, you know, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And the second key is through my conscious awareness of my oneness with God, I am restored to emotional health and well-beingness. My life is in divine and perfect order. So going back to that word restore, you can't be restored to something you never were. Right? You can't be restored back to wholeness if that's not your original nature. And what I discovered in the anonymous programs is like that connection is not made. I just came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And I wanted to expand on that and say, yes, this power greater than yourself can restore you to the wholeness that you were created to be in the first place. Mm-hmm. But this power greater than yourself is not out there somewhere. This power greater than yourself is yourself. It is your real self. And when you are connected to it, you are restored back to your original nature of wholeness. And so the book goes on, the 12 Keys to Freedom, the workbook, goes on like that, and it also has several stories in it of my recovery, of my personal recovery with each step, and then each step has a work section that you work each and every week to get you to that place of being restored or of turning your life over to God as you understand God. And this book is now being revamped and re-edited as the title is now Soul Recovery, 12 Keys to Healing Addiction, which is going to be released by Hay House on June 7th.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you repeat? Cindy said you're going pretty fast on those. Can you repeat the first two so we can put those in the group, in our Purpose Talk Conversations, Radio Conversations group, and or you can go in afterwards and type them up if you'd like. But if you say them again a little bit more slowly, we'll have a chance to grab them.
Right. Well, the first key is through my conscious awareness of my oneness with God, I am divinely empowered, and my life is in divine and perfect order.
I love that, divinely empowered. That's mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
And key number two is through my conscious union with God. I'm not reading it right now. Through my conscious union with God, I am restored to my true nature of emotional balance and well-beingness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love also your concept of being restored to the perfectness that you once were, that
Absolutely.
We, each of us once
yeah.
was.
And yeah. like I said, a lot of people miss that. You know, they think, oh, I'm going to get something. I'm going to get restored. I'm going to uh-huh. get, you know, healing. I'm going to get, you know, to be okay, when the truth is you were created okay. You were created perfect. You were created complete. You just forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 12 keys and the 12 steps as well, they are designed to help you remember that which you have always been in the beginning, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. You said that you went through domestic abuse as well, and a lot of our listeners mm-hmm. resonate with that. So can we talk okay. a little bit about that and how you managed to survive it and to get through it?
Well, I think I survived it because I didn't know anything other than it. You know, I think it would have been harder to survive had I known better, but I didn't know better. It was like that's the vibration that I was hanging out in. And so I used to think, you know, like a lot of our sisters think, that if a man hit me, that meant he loved me. If he was jealous, you know, of another guy and he took it out on me, that meant, oh, my God, he really loved me. So it was just such a distorted sense of love, you know.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, it was insane, actually, you know, to be hit or to be slapped or to be drugged or, you know, someplace, you know, from one room to the other, or pushed around or pushed up against the wall, you know, and then an hour later making love, you know.
Or
what you thought was making love. And it was, you know, it is the insanity of not knowing who you are. It's the insanity of not knowing your oneness with God, or thinking that, you know, an argument or a disagreement is not, you know, is ineffective if you're not yelling and cursing and, you know, being called names or you're calling names or whatever, just, you know, and not knowing that there is a difference, not knowing that there is, that's not normal, you know, and you don't know if you don't know, you know, you can't see until you can see and you can't hear until you can hear. And that was my experience for a lot of years. And that was, you know, what I experienced in a lot of relationships, and, you know, the emotional abuse of, you know, the other women and sitting on some guy's doorstep until he came home at 3 o'clock in the morning from some other, you know, woman's house, or, you know, God, is he going to call me today? Is he going to come over today? Am I going to see him today? You know, usually after, you know, just being slapped around a couple of days before, and you want to see this guy, you know, but it's like that. But that was the wounded, broken little girl within my beingness that said, I'll take your love any way you give it to me because I don't love myself enough.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's that's so hard. And, it's what? I guess I never went through an well, maybe it was abuse, but it was a little bit it was a lot different. I never went through any in my life of the serious abuse that so many people go through. And yet there apparently has been some sort of empathy that allows me to be able to talk with people, but it just makes me want to cry. You know, it hurts so bad. I remember in the, oh gosh, it was 20 years ago, 10, 15 years ago when I was doing medical transcription and I was transcribing reports from people who had been involved in the Vietnam War, which was my generation. Uh-huh. And there were people who were talking about, there were the traumas that they were going through. These were the compensation and pension reports that they just, you know, were applying for disability because of some trauma they had gone through. And I remember in particular, I would spend several days sitting at my computer typing with the tears streaming down my face. In fact, it even chokes me up just thinking about it. But
well, that must be a part of your calling, a part of your ministry, that even though you didn't personally experience that, you have such an empathy for it so that, you know, you can be of service in this area. And it is something to cry about. It's something to cry about that, you know, that kind of abuse was heaped upon someone. But I think the sadder thing is that the person that's receiving the abuse doesn't know any better and think that that's normal.
That's
and
right.
think
yeah.
that's love, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I don't ever want to negate how inappropriate and how wrong and how absolutely unacceptable it is for one person to hit or abuse another physically, emotionally, or anything, but especially physically, you know, and I think that's mostly what we're talking about here. I don't want to negate that at all. I mean, that's a horror story, and that's horrific, and that's mm-hmm. terrible. But I don't want to bypass that nothing has happened in anyone's life that they didn't consciously invite to be there, because that's where they were living in their own consciousness, and that the only way that that's going to ever change is for you to start doing your own inward healing. That's the only way that's going to change. It's because you can leave someone that's doing the act of domestic violence on you. You can leave them. Mm-hmm. And then get into another relationship, and it's the same relationship with a different zip code and a different
right.
suit on and a different person, because you take you wherever you go. So
right.
don't think that you're going to get away from a person and you haven't healed yourself and you're going to find someone that's so much better than that other person. You know, that's just not going to happen. And that, you know, that's the law of attraction. That is the law, that you will attract what you believe about yourself. You will
mm-hmm.
attract your dominant thought patterns about yourself. And I'm really big on that. And I know I'm stressing that a lot, but, you know, I just don't want to see women or men think, oh, God, I'm in a horrible situation. I have to get out. Yeah, you do have to get out. But even when you get out, you have a lot of work to do on yourself to come to a place where that kind of abuse or any kind of abuse isn't even on your radar anymore. It's like, you know, I am so incredibly blessed when I look at how far I've come, but it has taken a lot of work, a lot of tears, a lot of breaking old patterns within my own thought patterns about myself, you know, just being on the floor, just rocking and crying because not knowing myself to be any better than what I had identified myself as for so many years. And then the breakthrough slowly but surely happening, you know, to the point where, you know, not only am I, you know, not in a relationship where yelling isn't even acceptable, you know, but
mm-hmm.
that the disagreements are so respectful and so honoring and so loving, you know, and because that's how I feel about myself, you know?
So did you come through all of these realizations through your 12-step program or through, were there
no,
other?
Yeah, the 12-step program, definitely. But I transitioned out of the 12-step program into New Thought, into Religious Science, you know, at 10 years of sobriety. So unified with the 12-step process and the new thought principles coming into my awareness of my oneness with God is what, and a lot of forgiveness work and inner child work and all of that has gotten me to the point to where I am today.
Wow.
It takes a village. It takes a village to raise a wounded, broken child. And I use every tool, everything that is available to me to take me to the next level, to help me remember who I am as a child of God. You know, because even today I can go into that, you know, false belief of, oh, God, I don't know how to do that, or, you know, am I really good enough to do that? And it's like, oh, baby, that's that old stuff. But now I know what to do with her. You know, now I know that anesthetizing her with drugs and alcohol or an unhealthy relationship or, you know, overeating is not the answer. The answer is me acknowledging my own inner child's pain, knowing how to surrender her to the altar of absolute love and healing and support and prayer and meditation and forgiveness, surrounding myself with people that adore me, you know, that reflect the truth back at me, and having people that are further along on the path that can pray for me and that can hold me in the truth until I can hold it for myself. I use all the angels and all the power that and all the resources that's available to me to tell this little girl within me, baby, you are so amazing. You are so beautiful. You are so smart. You are so enough. I got you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And prior to my recovery, you know, I didn't have access to those tools.
So, wow, I'm really almost overwhelmed by your story here. So on the 12 Keys to Freedom, your new book coming out, what's it going to be called?
Soul Recovery, 12 Keys to Healing Addiction. And, you know, it's about recovering from something. You know, if you're recovering from emotional abuse, if you're recovering from drug abuse, if you're recovering from love addiction, you know, if you're recovering from those kinds of addictions, all of that is what the book is about. But mostly, it's not about recovering from something. It's about recovering the real you. Because in order to recover from something, you've got to recover that which you are, that which you have always been.
Right.
Right?
Yes, right. Wow. Well, you know, I was looking at some of my information about Martin Luther King. So I'd like to talk about, I'm going to move away from you for a little bit and then we'll come back to it, okay? But Martin Luther King and some of his work. And he did an incredible amount of work on love. And one of the things he said is, it is love that will save our world and our civilization, love even for our enemies.
Right.
And to me, this enemies isn't just a global thing or a big thing. It's also that that one person that is berating you or that you feel hatred towards or whatever it is. So I'd like to read just a real short paragraph that he wrote on this, because I do think it is quite relevant. And he says, how do you go about loving your enemies? I think the first thing is this. In order to love your enemies, you must begin by analyzing self. And I'm sure that seems strange to you that I start out telling you this morning that you love your enemies by beginning with a look at self. It seems to me that that is the first and foremost way to come to an adequate discovery of the situation. Some people aren't going to like you. They're going to dislike you, not because of something that you've done to them, but because of various jealous reactions and other reactions that are so prevalent in human nature. But after looking at these things and admitting these things, we must face the fact that an individual might dislike us because of something that we've done deep down in the past, some personality attribute that we possess, something that we've done deep down in the past and we've forgotten about it, but it was that something that aroused the hate response within the individual. That is why I say, begin with yourself. There might be something within you that arouses the tragic hate response in the other individual. So I want to ask you, in your recovery process, have you noticed that to be true? Has it changed from people who are abusers being attracted to you to people who are loving being attracted to you?
First of all, I never heard that paragraph by Martin Luther King, and boy, was he so connected to Source, because mm-hmm. what he said is what I know to mm-hmm. be true. And that's why I facilitate forgiveness workshops, by the way. And I talk about the difference between traditional forgiveness and radical forgiveness, which are some of the principles that I teach from. And traditional forgiveness says, I feel abused, I feel unworthy, I feel betrayed, I feel abandoned, I feel unloved, I feel unwanted, and it's because of what you did that I feel this way. But I'm gonna forgive you, which makes that impossible if I'm blaming all of these core wounds and these feelings on you. How can I ever really truly forgive you? You mm-hmm. know, I might bandage it up, but how can I truly forgive you? And radical forgiveness says, yes, I do feel abused. I feel abandoned. I feel unloved. I feel unworthy. I feel shame. But it's not because of you that I feel this way. It's because I feel this way deep down inside about myself that I drew you into my experience. And that's exactly what I was saying about the emotional abuse. And that's what Martin Luther King is saying. He said, you must look at what is going on with you. He was talking about the law of attraction, basically.
Yes.
He was basically saying, what is going on with you that you are a vibrational match for this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at what's going on with you and you offer that to the spirit within to be transmuted, to be healed, and you do your healing work, you will lift your vibration to the degree that those type of people are no longer a match for you. And if there's someone in your life like that, either they will rise to meet your new vibration, or they will fall away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scripture says, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. When your vibration is one of such self-love and self-respect and good, you cannot attract someone who is of such a different vibration. That's why Nelson Mandela was treated like a king in prison for 27 years. They didn't abuse him.
Uh-huh.
Even though
right.
he was a prisoner, because there was something in him that was so at peace and so in love with his God self and so clear about who he was that even the prison guards wanted to be his friend.
Well, and do you find that in your – I found that in my life. Do you find that in your life?
Please repeat the question. You just went out.
Well, I said that I have found that very same thing, is that the people who are attracted – or that come into my, that I meet anywhere along the way, seem to really enjoy being around me and want to be friends with me.
Absolutely.
I don't ever find any people who want to abuse me. So
absolutely.
What you're
and
saying
when I was in
is...
when I was in victim mode
mm-hmm.
of, God, nobody likes me and everybody's,
mm-hmm.
you know, crap
right.
and everybody's so horrible and all of that kind of stuff. I found myself in those situations all
right.
the time.
Right.
You know? And again,
yeah.
not negating when someone comes up in your experience and their behavior is inappropriate. You know, that's not negating that. But, you know, it's like you can fight and resist and say, I want this person out of my life. I hate this person, blah, 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 blah. And the more you resist that, the more they're in your life or 10 more show up like them. It must start with you looking at what's going on with you from a microscopically honest, humble place, not of a place of beating yourself up, but of a place of saying, wow, from a place of deep compassion, wow,
mm-hmm.
I feel this way about myself. I believe this about
mm-hmm.
myself. I am ready to have this belief about myself transformed. I am ready to be transformed by the renewing of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
A deep healing about myself so that I can start attracting a different experience.
Mm-hmm. I remember that whole victim experience and thinking about, oh, my God, it's the same situation over and over again, different
mm-hmm,
place,
mm-hmm.
different people, but the
mm-hmm.
same situation.
Mm-hmm.
So finally
and
learning
that's the
to...
clue. That's the
yeah.
clue right there.
Right.
It's like if
yeah.
you have a situation after situation after situation, that's the same situation with different people in different
mm-hmm.
places, then what is the dominant factor in each of those situations?
Right.
You.
You.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you, it's a beautiful thing, and it's an exciting thing when someone gets that. It's like, wow, I am not powerless and a victim to this world. I'm going to take my power back by
mm-hmm.
allowing myself to be healed and choosing my life and co-creating with the universe this amazing life that I desire. Scripture also says, you know, it is done to you as you believe, you know, and a lot of
right.
people are like, well, I say the affirmations. You know, I'm a good person. I'm a kind person. Yeah, all of that is true, but you believe yourself to be crap. And as long
right.
as you believe that about yourself, that's all you can attract.
Right. You know, Neil Donald Walsh wrote the books, Conversations with God.
Mm-hmm.
One of those conversations, I believe it was God talking, and or whoever that was that, we'll just call it God talking. But God was telling a story about self-responsibility and about the woman who, remembering that everything that we do is our own choice and we draw it
mm-hmm.
to ourselves. So mm-hmm. if a woman chooses to work at a job that she absolutely hates in order to provide for her children,
mm-hmm.
to remember that she has chosen that job. And
mm-hmm.
if she brings love to it, and love to herself, then everything about that job changes. The whole reality changes.
Or she will be removed from it.
Exactly. Her whole reality changes.
But yeah.
yeah.
But complaining about it, I have a relative who for years have been saying, and with passion she says this, I hate my job. I hate that place.
Oh,
and I'm like, whoa. Well, either get ready for two things. Either get ready to get fired and finding another job just like that, or, you know, just move your bed into that job because you're going to be there for a while.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or, and I know that this is like using a muscle that you're not accustomed to using, is blessing that job, appreciating everything
mm-hmm.
about that job, seeing, you know, how you can bring, you know, meditating in the morning before you go to that job, you know, affirming your life and giving
mm-hmm.
a little bit extra and watching how the universe responds to that.
Right.
You know?
That really makes changes.
But people
yeah.
think, you know, falsely think, and I say this from compassion, not from a place of judgment, because I can dig it. I was there myself. That the more I complain, the faster I'm moving myself out of the situation. And it's really
the
opposite.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
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 Wow. So I'm stumbling here. You wrote a song. and we weren't able to upload the song to be able to hear it.
Okay.
However, Cindy's standing by with her YouTube open and her Skype open so that we can listen to this song. Would you tell us a little bit about the song before we play it?
Well, forgiveness, I am passionate about forgiveness because it has so expanded my life and it has set me free when I've been on the floor in pain and I've used these processes of radical forgiveness and the fourth through the ninth step of the 12th step. Of the 12 steps, it has so set me free and so saved my life that I teach these workshops every weekend. And I teach them to my private clients, and I've seen them transform. And so when I went to Colorado 3 years ago to write with my best friends, J.D. Martin and Jan Garrett, and they were sitting in their music room, and they're like, okay, what do we want to write about? And I said, forgiveness. And I said, you know, I heard this story about Martin Luther King, you know, that he said that you know, he was at this event, and this guy came and asked him, was he Dr. King? And he said yes, and the guy spit on him, and King calmly took out his handkerchief and, you know, wiped the hate from his, the spit from his suit, and he gave it back to the man and said, I believe this belongs to you. And, like,
wow.
We all just sat there with our jaw open, and Jan's like, that's the name of the song, I believe this belongs to you. And we sat there, and the song was done, like, in an hour. It just downloaded through us in, like, this amazing way.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's bring Cindy on, and flip to Cindy, you are on the air. Hi. And thank you for doing this.
I am, sir.
Hi, Cindy.
It is so good to have you doing this song and stuff, because the first time I heard it, it blew me away.
Thank you.
Such a forgiveness song and such a, hey, I'm not taking your garbage. I'm giving it right back. So I love it.
Well, there's that part of the song, but I don't want you to miss the second verse of the song, which says, I once had a powerful story I used to carry around. I thought it was you all this time that held my spirit down. But now I know the truth of who I came here to be. You are my angel, not my enemy. So I thank you for the part you played in this dance we had to do. I give you back the love that's real. I believe this belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
That is the principle of the song. Not giving back the hate, but saying, no matter what hate you give me, I'm not a vibrational. What Dr. King was telling this guy is, I am not a vibrational match for your hate. So here, you know, you take it back. That doesn't belong to me. But I also recognize your pain, and I'm not going to take on. I'm not going to allow this story of that whatever the story is. I'm not going to allow it to weigh me down, because I recognize you as my angel and not my enemy. And I restore love to myself, and I restore love to you. That's what this song is about.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, and exactly. That's part of what I was going to say. It's like, and that no matter what you're going to do to me, because I know who I am with my source, with my life, I'm going to give that back, not just what you have.
Absolutely.
Give the love,
And the part that says you are my angel and not my enemy is saying you didn't do anything to me. You did it for me. You did it to mirror back to me and to help me wake up to my true divinity as an expression of God. So I want to tell anyone who's listening out there, you know, whoever it appears that they're doing something to you, that in the spiritual realm, they're not doing it to you, they're doing it for you.
That's right.
To wake you up to the truth of who you are.
And what a powerful gift that is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There is a part of that, too, that says we have to go through certain things to get to where we are, too.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it is just these experiences, but they're not fun. So.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Shall I hit play?
Please do, yes.
Okay. And then I'll post the link later for anybody that wants to listen to it later.
Okay, great. Thanks, Cindy.
I once heard a powerful story about a man who stood as true with such conviction in who he was, he would not be moved. Someone stepped out of the crowd and said, are you Martin Luther King? He said, yes, I am. And the well-dressed man spit on him. King took out his handkerchief and wiped the hate from his suit. Gave it back to the man and said, I believe this belongs to you. I will lift you up, do what I can do. I see your heart, I know your pain. I've been there too. I will hold you. to have to do. I am clear who is standing here. I believe this belongs to you. I once had a powerful story I used to carry around. I thought it was you all this time that held my spirit down. But now I know the truth of who I came here to be. You are my angel in disguise, not my enemy. So I thank you for the part you played in this dance we had to do. I give you back the love that's real. I believe it belongs to you.
That is really powerful. Thank you very much, Cindy, for playing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to put you back on mute, and I'm going to let everybody know we've lost Esther. She managed to drop off of the show here, so I'm going to give her contact information again, and you can go ahead and get a hold of her. Her website is esthernicholson.com. That's ESTHERNICHOLSON.com. And there you can find out information about her 12 Keys to Freedom, A Path to Metaphysical Recovery. You can find out when...
Okay, you can find out when she has her workshops and things as well. If you'd like to pay attention to those and get her online. Yes, I have switched back on the air. This is Cindy again. I thank you very much for listening to the interview and being a part of that. One of the most powerful shows that I think we had over the last year, and I just felt that it was really, really appropriate to share that today on Martin Luther King Day. And as Esther sang and said, you know, it's all a part of, first, learning to love yourself and accepting yourself. And as Jan added, you know, because then you teach others how to treat you and how you want to be treated. If we accept ourselves and we don't condemn ourselves, what turns out is that, you know, we reflect that also to others. You know, they don't have anything to butt up against except love. if we're in a space of loving ourselves and loving others. There is someone who was listening to the show who wasn't able to stay online, and that's Sally Ann, and she was sharing her friend Christine's information from her wall today, and it's very relevant to what we're saying here today. What it says is, for compassion to be fully realized, it needs bonding. It requires creating a channel between giver and receiver, a mutuality that extends beyond the moment of need, a bond that continues to live on. It's the most gratifying result of true compassion. Do you bond with the one you have compassion for? Do you man apart? Does your interaction achieve things beyond a single act of sympathy? Exercise for the day. Ensure that something eternal is built as a result of your compassion. And I know one of the things that Andrea was going to discuss was compassion. So she'll get into that in March or April when we have her back on the show. But that is the truth. You know, if we have compassion for one another, we will find that, again, there is the compassion that is returned to us. We each stand in front of one another, and we make choices every day whether we want to be a part of the battles that are going on or whether we would prefer to be part of the love and acceptance that Martin Luther King spoke about. I choose to be part of the love and acceptance. I choose to share that with the world every day. And I think that's actually a good affirmation for today. I choose to be part of love and acceptance of myself and all those around me. Again, it would be, I choose love and acceptance of myself and of all the world around me. And I think that's a good place to end today. If you'd like to get a hold of me and have guests you'd like to suggest on the show, you can do that. And I see we have a caller, so I'm going to let her come in a moment here. But you can get a hold of me at purposetalkradio.com, and or you can send an email to cindy@purposetalkradio.com. So I'm going to bring our caller in here on the line. Hello there. You are on Purpose Talk Radio.
It's Andrea. Cindy?
Hi, Andrea. Yes. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. What an amazing call. and that interview with Esther was phenomenal. I just wanted to share just a thought that came out of sort of the last piece. It feels like sometimes I grasp things at the very end. When she was talking about the power of about being in love with yourself, and the thing about she was citing about someone who, the example of someone who was, you know, struggling with their job, and she said about, you know, choosing to bring love to the job and et cetera, and to be in a place of positive about it, and that either you're going to be removed from the job, or you'll get an even better job. Something better will happen.
Right.
And I just want to share because that I just realized that has been my experience. I had been admin assistant positions, et cetera, et cetera. But my passion is in another direction. And it's very interesting. I realize now when I heard that, it's just like when she's saying about, you know, being a positive space and looking at the positive of what you can bring to the to the employment opportunity, even though it's not your dream position, I ultimately was removed from the position, but it happened in such a positive way. And I never realized that until when she had just said that, you know, because so often we can complain about what we don't like as opposed to being positive and bringing, you know, because, I'd be meditating on the way to work, at the bus system, and the whole thing. It was hilarious, you know, and it was the most positive experience, even though it ended. It just worked out ultimately for the best for me. So the whole thing about being in love with yourself, that's something I never really registered before. That, unfortunately, that's something that's not being taught in our world, you know, consciously. So it's great to get that feedback.
True, very true. You know, and it's with everything. It's with a job. It's with the person you meet in the grocery store. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's anything. And that's what we need to remember.
You know, yeah, how, you know.
How do we look at each day and each experience? Go ahead.
Yeah. So, it just, you know, sometimes what seems like our most difficult situations, you know, I've ended up having best relationships in a landlord-landlady relationship where in the past it would have been difficult, but things have totally turned around. And so that the person responds to me with a whole different attitude compared to how they're responding to other people in the building, because my attitude towards them is different.
Right. Right. Oh, just, you know, that whole thing, you know, and what do we take to as the acceptance of what, you know, in King's case, it was actually literally being spat upon, you know, what,
mm-hmm.
in our case, it's not necessarily, sometimes it's just a word or a look or a whatever, you know, when
mm-hmm.
are we spitting on other people? When are they on us? And what do we do about that? Do we turn that back to them over them graciously and say this was experience? Or do we want to, you know, return the fight? So.
Yeah. And yeah. It's courageous to choose to not return the fight, because everything in our culture says you're supposed to fight back, you know, especially right. those of us who are immigrant or, you know, visible minority, whatever phrase you want to use. There's that perspective. I don't know about you, and I'm a black woman, and so I grew up with don't let them take advantage of you, and so you're supposed to always be in a fighter mode, and that was the message that I got. But I realized, you know, over the last little bit, when I'd chosen to step back and not react, or not react outwardly, and to do things energetically inside me, so I stay calm, and the other people do what they feel they need to do, the long-term result is totally different.
Mm-hmm. So what types of things did you do to change your own energy?
A biggest piece for me is emotional freedom technique. And I had a work situation in one of my last contracts I had where it was a negative, the behavior from my manager was basically very disrespectful of me. And the other people in the department knew that, and I chose when the person acted out however they felt they needed to act out, I chose to do emotional EFT, which is tapping, so that I could stay calm and not react. You know, or even one scenario where I went home, I was furious because the person basically, you know, anyways, just for how they acted. And I just thought, you know what, I need to get myself calm so that I can continue, go to work the next day and not want to kill her. You know, and I spent almost an hour and a half just tapping, in order to get myself calm. And then the next morning I was tapping away. Tapping in EFT and do the practice. And so that I did what I needed to do, but I did it in such a way that I communicated my displeasure in terms of how the manager acted, but I did it in a way that I wasn't attacking her, you know. I was still maintaining respect for her and respect for the position. And ultimately, yeah, the shifts happened, but it all worked out, you know, for me, for the better good, you know, over the long term. But if we, you know, as she says, it's all about me, you know, me personally, about each one of us. It's about us. Whatever energy we stay in and we need to do to stay calm, then we're going to attract different energy into our life. So if I was in that anger and rage and fury about the manager, well, I'd keep attracting more anger and rageful people into my life, you know? And not that they're not there, but it's still, way less than it used to be.
Right.
By me choosing to focus on what's happening for me. You know, and it affects our you know, relationship, in every relationship. I noticed it's affected my, you know, family relationships.
Yeah, I think I like you just gave me an idea of my school situation that I need to resolve. So that's a good idea, because yeah, you know, I'm saying, oh, I'm at peace with it, but no, I'm at peace with, you know, that I have to do something else, but I'm not necessarily at peace with the person. So you just brought up a good point for me too. And as we think about that, you might be fine about the situation and got over that and whatever, but is there a person or something else that's in the background that we don't want?
Well, yeah. Well, one thing, and I'm just thinking of the call from last week with Kat Spirits and what she did about negative energy. I just had a call with her this morning about the negative energy release practice. Oh my gosh, that's phenomenal. And even doing that, you know, whether you're familiar with EFT or not, doing something to shift our energy so that, because we cannot think calmly about whatever situation we're in, especially when we're in the midst of the reaction. How can we make a calm decision? How can I make a calm decision if I'm in reactive mode? I need to get my energy calm so then I can respond in a way that's for all concerned. But if I'm just in this place of reaction, it's all about, you know, what do I need to do to take care of me? Because then we're in the fight or flight mode, right?
Right. Right. You know, you're bringing up Kat, you reminded me of something. She said something last week to me after, and I was hoping she was going to call in or get a chance to listen this week about it. You know, she said a lot of King's speech was actually intuitive. You know, he had something to say, but a lot of it, when he actually got there, you know, like most ministers, and I think I was talking to you about this too, you know, most ministers, you know, they talk from the cuff. But it's not even totally the cuff. It's from spirit, and it's from what am I supposed to share with the world?
Yeah,
so
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I was in the ministry, the same thing. It's all about, you know, being connected with spirit and then allowing spirit to speak through you.
Right.
Right. So, that wouldn't surprise me. I just listened to it. He really sounds like a Baptist minister. I'm not being negative. I'm just saying because I've been in the ministry, too, you hear a preacher speak, and I just, you're a Baptist minister.
yep, exactly. The power behind it, and the confidence.
Exactly.
And, you know, and again, speaking with the confidence, we have to say is what needs to be said and what needs to be shared with the world. That confidence that, you know, being who we are. Again, go back to the song too. I am who I am, and that's who I'm going to be. So trust that who we are and who we appear in any moment is exactly who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to share it with the world.
Yeah.
As long as it's forgiving. you know.
Yeah, and if we're in that place of connecting with spirit, however that works for each person, then we will know. But if we're always in this place of doubt and, you know, am I worthy? Am I okay? Am I, you know. I mean, I've done talks where I'm just like, I spend all my time, it's like, I know when I'm in this place of connecting with spirit, as opposed to being in this place of worrying, am I saying the right thing, the right time, et cetera. Then the focus is not on them. The focus is on me, right?
Right.
That's not what it's supposed to be.
Cool. All right. Well, I appreciate your calling in and sharing your thoughts on that, because it was a nice way to wrap this piece up, too. So.
You're quite welcome.
I will put you back on hold so you can finish listening to the show. And if you would press 1, then you'll be out of my queue. I don't think there's anybody else calling in, but just in case. So thanks for calling, Andrea.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, folks. I think with that, I'll give people just another moment here. If you wish to call in, 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. I don't see anyone piping up, raising their hands in either of our chat rooms here. I will go back later and post some of these things and the connection into the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. I did not do that today. I'll try and find a link back to that discussion that we had last year about it so that you can share in that as well. Let's see. In that case, I think next week we have, our guest is Krista Bell, and she does a lot of things with creativity and sharing the creativity of other people, especially on Facebook. And she'll be talking about some of that, how that came to be a sharing process and a herself being very creative and putting out a magazine, some other things with word and poetry and photography so that everybody else gets an opportunity to share, not just herself. And other than that, I think I have to just wish you all a happy Martin Luther King Day and a week of soul blessings. Thank you. We'll catch you here next week at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UK time on Purpose Talk Radio. I am Cindy, your host. Thanks for listening. Soul blessings.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
And again, that sounds by True Trinity at TrueTrinity.com.